talking about pointing or pointers for you to ponder, for you to think about. And we need that. Amen. We need to ponder these things. And as Brother Jose said in his testimony, you can't do it without the Holy Ghost, can you? You can't drive a car with the brakes on. You can't ponder. You can't meditate on prophecy without the Holy Ghost. And your flesh doesn't want you to do that. The world doesn't want you to do that. I know the devil doesn't want you to do that. But the preacher's purpose is to put prophecy in your memory. So go to 2 Peter and remember in 2 Peter, we said that Peter, by the way, Peter is buried up on the Mount of Olives. His bones are up there, amen, along with Mary and Martha. They discovered it. A couple of Roman Catholic priests found his bones, amen. So he didn't go to Rome and die in Rome. He died right there in Jerusalem, amen? And he says in 2 Peter, as a prophet, because he was speaking prophetically, he said, I'm going to die. I'm going to put off this tent. That's the way he described it. So I want you to remember some things. And he told them the things that I talked to you about adding to your faith virtue and virtue knowledge and knowledge temperance and so forth. He told them that so they would grow spiritually and they would be strong spiritually and not to live by the corruption, he said, that's in the world through lust, because you've escaped that kind of lifestyle through being born again and having the Holy Ghost of God in your life. But it pulls on us all the time, every day. I don't know about you, but I feel that corpse. I pull him with me every day. And he wants to get up, and the Holy Ghost gives him a shot of formaldehyde to put him back down in his coffin, amen, where he belongs. Because when the flesh is up, the spirit is down, amen? And, you know, it's either one or the other. And so Peter talked about living by the promises of God, exceeding great and precious promises. And now that was chapter one. Now in chapter three, we study today, he is going over those promises, the promises about the prophecy of Christ and what's going to happen in the scripture and the prophetic pointers for you to ponder about prophecy. And I ask you to come back tonight. I want to congratulate you. You came back tonight. Amen. That's good. You came back tonight, and that's a good thing right there. Amen. And so you get the second part of this message. Now, we said the prophetic points to ponder. First of all, the preacher's purpose is to put prophecy in your memory, and he wants you to keep it in mind. He wants you to think about it. Listen, when I try to get away from prophecy, I keep getting pulled back to it. I had that guy, like I said, he calls me up and asks me questions on Revelation. It stirs me up. He asks me good questions. He draws it out of me. You know, if you're smart, when you talk to somebody, you will draw the wisdom out of them. You know, a lot of people, the book of Proverbs, you guys study the book of Proverbs. It says that wisdom is like a deep well. You have to draw it out of people. Now, I got more wisdom, Matthew, in my little finger than you got in your whole body. I was talking to him about that the other day. And I said, someday I hope you'll be able to say that to some young man. But no, seriously, you got to be able to draw it out of people. And it's there, but you got to be able to draw it out. And so that's what happens to me with prophecy. People want to learn, and it draws it out of me. And that keeps it in my mind. And by the way, you want to keep it in your mind, share it with others. Share what you're learning with others. It will keep it in your mind. Amen. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What does that mean? By doing things with Christ and through Christ, you'll be strengthened. Not only hearing things, but doing things. Take in and give out. That strengthens you. Amen. I would not be a strong Christian if I just took in. I've got to give out as well. And so tonight you're taking in, but you want to be encouraged to give it out. Share it with other people. You know, get the word of God out. And this is what the Apostle Peter is doing. He wants them to be mindful. He wants them in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 3 to remember these things. And so you can do that as you take it in and then you give it out. And then we said, secondly, this pointers to ponder about prophecy is proclaiming a past judgment that points to a prophetic judgment. And we said there's a problem with that because there are scoffers today that don't believe in a past judgment. All right, now, what judgment are we talking about? Well, go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to get into the Bible, amen? 2 Peter chapter 3, and look with me at verse number, as we get into that, look with me at verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Now, what are they saying? They believe in evolution, theistic evolution. God made everything, but all he made was just a little blob. And that's the kind of God they have. And he made that, and everything evolved from that. And so everything happens by evolution. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's not what it teaches in Genesis. It teaches that God created everything in six 24-hour days. And let me say this, that God, I believe in a young earth. I believe that God made everything 6,000 years ago. And then after that, about 1,500 years later or so, there was a universal flood that brought judgment upon this world. And now in the fossil record, you see all of that that was done through that universal flood. And it's there. And true scientists, creation scientists, can tell you about it. They know about it. There's a whole lot of them. My wife came to her professor in first year of college, and she had hundreds and hundreds of the members, listen to me, of the intelligentsia. And she embarrassed her college professor that said, challenge me to find one member of the intelligentsia, Miss Leeser, that believes in that hoaxy special creation theory. And she brought him hundreds because she had written to Creation Research Society at that time in El Cajon, California, and got a bunch of scientists. And then she found out, like I said this morning, that her professor's supervisor, Dr. Graham, believed in that. And she challenged her professor in front of the class and said, Dr. Patasto, you do believe Dr. Graham is a member of the intelligentsia now, don't you? Don't want to mess with that woman, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, I've been there, done that, poor guy. And, don't get her mad. But anyway, she was just a 19-year-old girl, and she was a freshman in college and dealing with that kind of stuff. And so what I'm trying to tell you is Dr. Patasto was a scoffer. I hope he got saved, amen? I hope he got right with God, because like I said in Sunday school, a lot of those intelligentsia guys that think they're the intelligentsia, they're the pseudo-intelligentsia, and they're in these colleges messing up the minds of our young people, when those locusts come out of hell, they're going to sting them for 5 months, amen? And one lady in my class, she said, hallelujah. She was like happy. But anyway, the scoffers have a Darwinistic philosophy, and they have a philosophy of a Scotsman named Lytle who said that the earth is millions, now they're up to billions and billions of years old. But the Bible says they're dumb on purpose, they're willingly ignorant, verse 5, about what God has done. And that's in verse 5, notice that, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, notice that, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Now, wait a minute here. What are the heavens of old? And what's this earth standing out of water and in water? I wonder if I were to ask you tonight to explain that to me, whether you'd be able to do it. And you should be able to do it. But if you don't, if you can't do it, if you're ignorant of it, there's no shame in being ignorant as long as you don't stay ignorant. Amen? Because if you stay ignorant, that's your fault. And so it tells us very clearly about this in the Bible. It says, whereby the world, verse 5 says that they're ignorant of what fact? That by the word of God, the heavens were of old. Now, the heavens and the earth were of old. The earth is not the same as it was of old. By that, I mean, if you read the book of Genesis, about 2,000 of the 6,000 years are covered in the book of Genesis. And in the book of Genesis, it says about 1400 BC, about 4400 BC, about 1400 to 1600 years after the creation, there was a universal flood. All right? And so it changed the world that was at that time. Do you know the world before that flood in 4400 BC, do you know that it never rained? Do you know that if all the water in the clouds would condense upon the world right now and fall down upon the world, do you know it would be only about 2 inches deep? That was not enough. There's not enough water in the clouds to flood the highest mountain. There's not enough water in the clouds to flood the world. And so that's not how the world was flooded. The world was created out of water and in water. It was in an envelope of water. What do you mean by that? Well, the Bible says in Genesis, when the flood occurred, the fountains of the great deep gushed out and ruptured, probably from a meteor hitting the earth and causing it to crack, which created all of the tectonic plates that we have today and knocked the earth on the tilt that we see it in now. It knocked it bango, and it caused those tectonic plates to form and fractured the earth. Well, when the earth fractured, the water shot up. It shot up and it caused a breakup also of the watery canopy that filtered the harmful radiation of the sun and kept it tropical. So in the North Pole, it was like the tropics. In the South Pole, it was like the tropics. That's why they found woolly mammoths at this time. They had eaten their food and it was frozen right in their bellies, because suddenly when that canopy broke up, that freezing happened in the north regions and in the South Pole regions, and made the world more like it is today. I'm talking about the heavens that then were and the earth. There was a change in the heavens, the atmosphere around the earth. There was a change in the earth, and it was a dynamic thing that took place there. But the Bible said these scoffers, they scoff at that. They mock that kind of stuff because they don't want to hear about it. I'm telling you, you're going to hear more about stuff on Hillary Clinton. It's going to come out. And it's going to come out. And that's the way people are going to be. Julian Assange, he's going to come out with that. Why do you got to have some foreigner bringing it out? Because Americans are afraid of the mafia. They got to kiss the finger, the ring. But thank God there are some people that are going to get it out. But listen to me, you know what would be a shameful and a horrible thing? It was bad enough that the Democrats nominated her when they knew all that they knew about her. But now the United States people, if they elect her, or the election is stolen. You see, what we're trying to say to you is that I do believe there is a devil, and he represents the reptilians. He is a cherub, a fallen cherub, and the cherubs around the throne of God represented different parts of God's creation. The devil represented the reptilians. Have you ever thought why the dinosaur is used so much? Because the devil is using dinosaurs to try to say that there wasn't creation. That's why I love Kent Hovind calling himself Dr. Dino. He's taken the devil's thunder. And what did the devil do? He threw him in jail for almost 10 years. You know, you want to learn about this stuff? Go ahead and listen to Dr. Kent Hovind. And what I'm trying to say to you, the devil is powerful. He's a dragon. The dragon is a biblical word for dinosaur. So that's what we're talking about here. And we're talking about the fact that these people are willingly ignorant of this, that the world was made out of water and all this water was under the earth's surface. And then there was a canopy of water. By the way, now the earth was enveloped in a canopy of water, and underneath was water, and the water would come up and water the ground. They didn't have clouds and rain. Everything was the same temperature, and it filtered out all the harmful radiation of the sun that destroys your genes. And that explains why people no longer live to be 900 plus years old. Because when this event occurred in 4400 BC or so, when that event occurred, it destroyed the genetics. And after a few generations, it came down to man living to be about 70 or 80 years old. And so now it is really changed. And that's why Peter says here, the heavens and the earth that were of old. Notice that in verse 5, were of old. When it says were of old, what period of time, one of the men tell me, is it talking about? I just explained it. What period of time, Matthew? Before the flood. And the word is A-N-T-E, antediluvian. Diluvian means flood. Ante means like an antechamber, the front porch before. Ante is before the flood. That's the world Peter's talking about. It's different now. You say, well, why is Peter bringing that history in? Because it affects the future. It affects the future. And see, I'm going to tell you something. This world has been rocking and reeling ever since that meteor hit it. This world has been rocking and reeling ever since that canopy broke up. And that's why the scoffers, the modern, quote, scientists, and by the way, while I'm at it, these same scientists are lying their faces off about global warming. There's no... important global warning is a crock of whatever. It's a lie. And you remember they had that big scandal about it, and they discovered that material in where was it? Iceland, Nova Scotia, up there. And it was shown it was lie. By the way, they've done studies back in the Middle Ages, and there were grapes being grown in northern climates in Europe, in England, and they had cycles of warming based on radiation. You know, the global warming from carbon is minimal. And by the way, if all these dummies stop their carbon and you know, stop their carbon, you haven't stopped China. She's going more than ever. Yep. Largest population in the world. They're not listening to these dummies. It's a crock. It's a lie. And all these scientists believe that. Yeah, the same scientists are the people covering up for Hillary. I mean, it's just lying. And Satan is what? The father of lies. Bible says you get into the word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And so the truth is that God made this world about 6,000 years ago. That's all. And then there was a great flood after that, a universal flood. And it caused a whole change. And now the world is rocking and reeling. Volcanoes come out of that. Earthquakes come out of that. Hurricanes come out of that. Tornadoes come out of that. Before that, there was none of that stuff. Short life comes out of that. Before that, they lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. So Noah, when he was 500 years old, he had three kids. He was like a 30-year-old at 500 years old. I'm taking a little pill that Noah had. No, I'm just kidding. But you have to have a lead suit on. You wear a lead suit and cover yourself with a lead umbrella all the time, and get into a hyperbaric chamber a whole lot and breathe in that pure oxygen that Noah had from the canopy. But anyway, we are exposed to that, and we're going fast. And so people are willingly ignorant of that, And the Bible said that the world that then was, verse 6, being overflowed with water, perished. It perished. And so that world no longer exists for us. It's now the atmosphere and the heavens that we now have and the earth that that we now have, like I said, with all the volcanoes and earthquakes and floods and so forth and so on. And so notice, though, that in all of these things, it is the word of God that makes the difference, because notice it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that in verse 5, for this they're willingly ignorant that by the word of God the heavens were of old. God made everything. And then whereby, verse 6, that's the same word of God, the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. God's the one that directed that mediator, amen? He's the one that directed that judgment. So he made the world, he judged the world, and he intervened in the world. And then it's not like the evolutionists, oh, they'll give you God. Oh, they'll give you God. But he's this weak little God that made a little dot, and then everything evolved from there. And somehow he was helping it along. That's not the God of the Bible. God made everything in 24-hour days. And God flooded everything by this universal judgment. And then he goes on from there, and notice what he says in verse 7. But the heavens and the earth which are now, that's what we have right now, by the same what? Word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of what kind of men? Ungodly men. Men that don't believe in the God of the Bible. God says, hey, you don't believe in the flood? I got the evidence all around. You don't believe in these things? You do believe in global warming? You do believe in your prophecy, Al Gore, global warming and enriching yourself on that and controlling people through your lies? Well, I got something for you. And it's not a universal flood. It's going to be universal fiery judgment that's going to destroy the world. God said, I destroyed it once by water. I'm doing it again by fire.
Amen.
And we're living in those days, my friend. We're rapidly coming closer and closer to those days. And so it's the word of God that will determine when this will happen. You say, well, Pastor, what is this thing that you're talking about? What I'm talking about, my friend, is what Peter's writing about in 2 Peter chapter 3. What Joel wrote about in Joel chapter 1 and Joel chapter 2. What the word of God talks about in Revelation chapter 6 and in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21 and throughout the word of God. It is of the Lord's wrath. God's going to intervene, and he's going to judge this world once again, and that is a fiery judgment that is coming. So, all right, let's review here. Points to ponder. First of all, the preacher's purpose is to put prophecy in your memory, to get you thinking about these things. Number two, to proclaim a past judgment, the flood, that points you to a prophetic judgment that is the day of the Lord's wrath. These are points for you to ponder. And then number three, another point for you to ponder is prolonged delay of judgment doesn't mean procrastination of the judge. Change it up a little bit there. Let me say that again. That's a mouthful. Prolonged delay of judgment doesn't mean procrastination by the judge. You know, a lot of people, they interpret it that way. Oh, Pastor, you've been preaching on prophecy all, you know, for so many years. We don't see any of these things happen. That's because you're a little pipsqueak. You're small. Your little lifetime is small. This is bigger than you. This is bigger than me. This is bigger than our lifetime. And we've got to look at it from God's perspective. So don't be preoccupied with your lifetime so that you miss the big picture of what's going on. Don't see the trees and miss the whole forest. See, there is a purpose for us to get the big picture. You say, well, I'm more concerned about the particulars. You talk about this big picture. Hey, it's like the calendar we gave out today. We gave a calendar of the whole year of what we're going to do. Is that valuable? Yeah, it's valuable. I had to sit down and work with others, deacons and leaders, to plan the year out spiritually. Hey, if you don't plan your life out, the devil will plan it. Amen? I tell the people when they have the kids for Wonder Church or for prayer meeting, children, you either plan the kids or the kids will plan you. You plan what you're going to do. You come in there with a plan, amen, right? Got to have a plan. She knows that, some kind of a plan. And thank God for Miss Jasmine. She does wonders with the kids. But listen to me. You got a plan, and God has a plan here. And so his delay of judgment doesn't mean procrastination by the judge, all right? And so let's look at the big picture tonight and see how God is working. Now, I want to give you a parallel from the Word of God. Go to 2 Peter 3 again and look down with me now, because we're looking now at verse 8 through 10, verses 8 through 10. We just finished 3 through 7. Now 8 through 10, it says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years of one day." All right. How many of you remember Sunday morning? Amen. I hope you do. How many of you remember what you had for breakfast? I don't know what I had, but you're better than me if you did. I don't even know if I had breakfast. I can't remember. But anyway, you're thinking about it. All right. And so one day, you know, that's not a long time. That day goes by rather quickly, right? But listen, while you're thinking about one day, God says that one day to you is like 1,000 years just went by to me. 1,000 years of time. That's how big God is. And it's interesting because I do see a parallel hidden in this verse. I do agree with those that see that parallel. And here it is, that God made the earth in 6 24-hour days, right? But how many years ago did he make it? 6,000 years ago. That's like 6 days to God. All right? But wait a minute. There's 1,000-year reign of Christ coming, according to Revelation 20, when there'll be time of rest and peace. That's why they called Noah, because his name means rest. And they thought that he was going to deliver them from the curse. He turned to be a great leader, but not the Messiah. Well, here you've got it, that the Lord Jesus is coming back, and there's going to be peace on earth, rest. The lion will lie down with the lamb. It's going to be 1,000 years of peace. And God is going to show us that he can bring peace on earth and do what the global warming people can't do, do what the communist people can't do, and all of these people. He's going to bring peace on earth, and he's going to bless the earth. And so that is coming up. So when it says a day is with the Lord, it's 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day. That tells me 6,000 years, we must be getting close to the millennium, that seventh day. And we're about 6,000 years from creation, so we're about ready to start the millennium, amen? That's why I believe that Israel came back to their land in AD 1948 to prepare for that. The land, if you go over to Israel, you can sense God's working in the land. There are Jews that are getting saved over there. They know God's working in the land. My Jewish guide knows God's working in the land. He knows the scripture. We were laughing together, rejoicing together over scripture with Yatsuk and Yoram. And, oh, what a blessing it is to go to Israel. It's getting ready. So you need to be thinking about it all. You don't need to be ignorant of prophecy. You say, "I'm just not that kind of guy." Well, if you're a saved guy, you should be that kind of guy. And people need it. And it's what helped to pique my interest so that I was able to get in the Word of God and get saved. So you say, "Well, okay, why is it taking so long though? A day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years a day." Well, listen, keep in mind what the Bible says here. Go with me to the next verse. It says in verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is what? Long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Oh, man, God is in no hurry to destroy people. Remember Jonah? He said, "Oh, cook them, Lord, just destroy Nineveh." And God changed his mind.
Amen.
He said, no. He said, "I want them to repent." And they repented. And Jonah was upset. He didn't want them getting saved. He wanted them fried. And God said, "No." He said, "They're little children. They don't know their right hand from their left. They're going to be..." He said, "There are beast animals that I'm concerned about." God doesn't do this capriciously. God, you see, he is slow to anger, that means. I know some people, they're quick to anger. You can get them mad right away. Boy, when they get mad, they're just, you're not like God when you're like that. God is slow to anger. You know, your wife gets you upset sometime. Not you, Jose. Don't raise your hand when I'm talking like that. Just sit there stone face. We know Miss Jasmine, she could do it. But if perchance she does sometime get you upset, you have to be very slow to anger. In other words, I've been married 40 years. I should not have gotten angry once yet. You got to be really slow. And she might hit you 30 times, but you hit her once with a word, it'll wilt her. Amen? I know that's true of my wife. I can hit her with one word, wilt her. She can hit me with 100. I'm like, didn't even lay a glove on me, man. I'm tough. But God is long-suffering, and he does not want to destroy it because he wants repentance. That's what he wants. That's what he longs for. I look at America, and people have said the fix is in. Hillary's going to get elected. The New World Order promised it. They're going to let Trump get close in the polls, and then they're going to steal the election. Yeah, but they forgot God.
Amen.
God can still give us mercy, and I'm praying for it. You say, do we deserve mercy? No, we don't deserve it. That's why it's called mercy.
Amen.
Mercy is undeserved. Amen. And I go to God for mercy. I've gone to God for mercy many, many times. And God has given me that mercy over and over again. I might act tough to you, but before God, I'm just like a little whimpering, simmering chicken. And I get mercy from God. And I know how to come to him. I play on that, his mercy, because I know he's merciful. All right? And so what I'm trying to say to you is, it's not that God is slack or that prophecy is a bunch of baloney. No, that's not it. It's God-given time. And we'll talk about that in a little bit because Peter talks about that. But it's something you need to understand. And I think about this. Who is the oldest man that ever lived? Think about this. The oldest man that ever lived. Think if you can guess it. Who? All right. Matthew? Yeah, Methuselah. You cheated. It's right there. All right. 969 years old. Wow. Look at that, Methuselah. And isn't that interesting that Adam was alive when Methuselah was alive? Wow, that's pretty cool. And so anyway, I got to get back to preaching. I can't be studying this. And so anyway, Methuselah was 969 years. Now think about it. Why was he the oldest man that ever lived? I'll tell you why. Because his name, Methuselah, here's what it means. When he dies, it shall come. God made a prophecy. When he dies, that little baby, Methuselah, oh, name of Methuselah, when he dies, it shall come. What shall come? The universal judgment, the flood. God is going to devastate the world. He's going to kill everybody except for 8 people. You think he wanted to do that? Man, the world got awful wicked, 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 wicked. And God said, oh, he had Noah preaching. He didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. And so he named him Methuselah, and he just kept giving Methuselah more life. It's a good name to have because he's going to keep living 969 years old. You know what Joe Slobodnik's name means, Slobodnik? When he dies, it shall come. And so he's going to live to be at least 120. But that is God's long suffering. So it's not that God is you know, a procrastinator. It's that God is long suffering. And he wants to save people, and he wants us to offer people salvation. But here's the bottom line, and we've got to hasten on to finish this point and this message. But go to verse number 10, because here is the bottom line in 2 Peter chapter 3. It says there, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works thereof shall be burned up. God is going to do it again. This time not by water, but by fire. When he does it, it will change the heavens and the earth. You say, what will happen when he does it by these fiery judgment that are pictured there? When those fireballs hit the ocean, it's going to throw water into the atmosphere and create or recreate the water canopy. Do you know that during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, the Bible in Isaiah 65 calls it, you don't have to go there now, but you can look at it later, the Bible calls it the new heaven and the new earth. What does he mean by that? Some people think that's eternity, that's after the millennium. No, the new heaven and new earth starts with the millennium. Because it is a earth that's been renewed, recreated. It's called the time of regeneration in the Bible, in the Gospels. Peter and the apostle called it the time of the regeneration. There's going to be a renewed earth. And people, it says that a person that dies at 100 years of age, that person will be like a child during the millennium. People will live again hundreds and hundreds of years old. They'll be able to have babies 500-600 years old, no problem. And so what we're saying is that this is going to change the canopy, and it's going to recreate it. And the world is going to be cleansed and renewed and renovated and changed. It's kind of like my kitchen. When they put in the new kitchen, they ripped everything out and renovated. It's still the kitchen, but it's so different you can't even believe it. If you saw it before and you see it now, it's so different. That's what the world is going to be like. And so the day of the Lord is going to come on schedule. And by the way, that's why I like Bible prophecy, because if it's Bible prophecy, not some man given his understanding, but if it's clear Bible prophecy, it's going to be 100% accurate. This will happen. The day of the Lord will come, and you can count on it. You can take it to the bank that it's going to happen. Now I want to talk more about this. I want to talk about the day of the Lord, but we don't have time. So you're going to have to come back. Maybe Wednesday? I don't know. Don't miss one. Don't miss one, brother. Because to be continued. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. We've been talking about points to ponder.